to unpack. I'm hoping to be able to do verses 8 through 12, and the message is entitled, Serving God Unashamed. Follow along as I read. Paul writes, Be not therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner. But be thou partaker of the affliction of the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles. For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Let's pray. Father, I ask the Holy Spirit be our teacher. Again, hide me behind the cross, but have your way in our hearts. May we seriously pay attention to the subject matter. That we would all be honest and transparent, because there are times that we are ashamed of the gospel and we are fearful to give it. Help me to be a help, but again, hide me behind your cross. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. I can still remember rather vividly standing outside of Independence Hall in Philadelphia, along with a number of other students from homiletics class 101. We drove over from Lancaster, Pennsylvania, to get our final grade in homiletics. We were, for the first time, to give a gospel message to the crowd of people leaving their offices and going to lunch. Now, mind you, we had preached to each other in the classroom, but that was a piece of cake compared to this. Needless to say that I was nervous, but probably not as nervous as the student who was designated to go first. But I also was dealing with something else, something that I believe would hinder my performance and the making the message rather ineffective. And that something was fear and shame. Yes. And last week we talked at length that God has not given us a spirit of fear. And I hope that you truly got some spiritual nuggets from that passage. I was learning as a student not to be ashamed of the gospel. And this process of preaching in the open air was my teacher. Never forget it, because it went so much better than I could ever imagine. And I was so blessed to be able to give my message and do my drawing and to actually see people come up to me. I thought that, you know, I would repel them. I heard a student, he told the professor that one of the people who had witnessed his message, his sermon, had come up to him and said that they were offended by his message. I was standing close enough to hear the professor look him right in the eye and said, The gospel is offensive. That has stayed with me. Think about that. When you tell somebody they're a sinner, do they like that? They don't like that. But you tell somebody, even though you might tell them indirectly, they're going to die and go to hell apart from Jesus Christ. That's offensive. Paul, the apostle, tells us here, but I think his most famous verse about this is in Romans chapter 1 and verse 16, where he says, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and then also to the Greek. And when I stood out there and I actually began to see people come to Christ, I understood that. There's no need to be ashamed of what's going to deliver people from the pit of hell. Amen? It will give you a boldness. But that's not to say there weren't people who were offended. As I mentioned, I did pick up one student complaining to the professor that some people had come up to him and they were offended. If we are honest, we all have struggled with this at one time or another for various reasons. And as I research this, there's many. I'm only going to share a few. And those few are the most prominent. The Apostle Paul begins in verse 8, stating to Timothy, be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of the Lord. We're going to break that down. And we're going to break it down. Point number one, don't be afraid of the gospel. Don't be ashamed of the testimony of the Lord. That is the gospel. Jesus Christ is the gospel. And the gospel is offensive. And that is the number one reason why we fail to witness. You know, the Holy Spirit convicts. That's the ministry of the Holy Spirit. We go to John chapter 14, 15, 16, and Jesus said that the Holy Spirit's going to convict people of sin, reprove them of sin. How many times have you sat in the pew where you're at and the message is being preached and the Holy Spirit convicts you? It's not the pastor. So I say, Lord, hide me behind the cross. I'm just the messenger boy. The Spirit of God is here with us where two or three are gathered. Jesus promised the Spirit of God to be with us, and the Spirit convicts. And although the Spirit does it in a loving manner, there can be times that we're offended because the Spirit of God is telling us the truth about ourselves. We often don't like that, do we? We don't like when the Spirit of God says, now, Mrs. Jones, I love you dearly, but you've been gossiping way too much. Right? Or Mr. Jones, you're a Christian, but you're really slacking off at work and not being a very good testimony for the Lord Jesus. The gospel can be offensive, and so can the truth of the Holy Spirit be offensive. You know, the reason why it's so offensive to the unsaved, because the gospel points out that they're sinners and that they're separated from God. And God can't look upon them with their sinfulness. It's offensive. And we are all guilty of Christ's death. People don't want to hear that. Do you know that it was you and I who put Jesus on the cross? Right. God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. Why? Whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Why? Because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And the wages of sin is what? Death. But the gift of God is eternal life. Through who? Jesus Christ. John 3:36. We don't like it. Let's turn there just for a minute, just to refresh our memory. I like this verse. It points right to the truth. In fact, Brother Trevor has this on his sign. He that believeth on the Son has everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life. That's offensive to people. Well, I don't believe in Jesus. Well, you're going to hell. You're condemned. God condemns you. That's offensive. But the wrath of God abideth on him. Sometimes we need to be offended that we wake up, amen? That we wake up to the truth because God loves us. He wants to save us. You know, we must always remember the power is in the message and in its deliverer, Jesus Christ. And it delivers a person from the penalty and the condemnation of sin. Go back to what Paul said in Romans 1:16. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Why? It's the power of God to deliver people unto salvation, to save their soul for all eternity. And I personally experienced that. Yeah, I was afraid, but God didn't give me that spirit of fear. That was from my flesh and the devil. And I was ashamed because I knew the message was going to be offensive to people. But when I saw people come to Christ, wow, this stuff works. Of course it does. It's the power of God. You say, what about those people that were offended? Well, maybe they had heard the message for maybe the very first time. Maybe that was just the breaking up of the hard soil, a hardened heart. Maybe the next time they softened and they were more receptive. You know, we don't pick the fruit all the time. Sometimes we got to till the soil. So the number one reason why people don't give the gospel and are ashamed is because they know it is an offensive message. Second, we are ashamed of the gospel because we are often man pleasers rather than God pleasers. Right? Let's be honest. Sometimes it's just simpler to do things of the world than to do what God asks, because what God asks runs contrary to what the world needs. And that is just human nature. In a day of political correctness, Christians are more worried about what their peers think than what Almighty God thinks. Do you know, overseas, many are martyred for their faith. They're not ashamed of the gospel. And even here in America, Christians are being shamed, persecuted, and even jailed. So we become ashamed because we want to please ourselves, and we want to please ourselves by avoiding fear and pain. Again, human nature. In the end, however, we have to answer to God and what we did with the gospel message. Well, we're so fearful and so ashamed that we did nothing, because we will have to answer to God. He requires his children to be good stewards of the testimony of Jesus. How did Jesus feel when he was crucified and hung naked on a cross? Did he not feel shame for us? Jesus said in Matthew, and you can find the same truth in a couple of the other Gospels, Matthew 10:28, he said, "And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." So often we're afraid of our peers. We have nothing to be afraid of other than maybe a little shaming. And I know that's part and parcel of the society that we're living in today. And I pray for people who are so fearful and ashamed that they won't come to Christ, because they will experience the wrath of God. And so, first, we have that the gospel can be offensive. Paul is basically saying that to Timothy, and not to be ashamed of it because it is the power of God. Second, because of our own human flesh, we are men pleasers. And third, we are ashamed of the gospel because we don't really believe the complete power of the gospel. I've seen it. Many of you have seen it. Some of you have seen individuals come to Christ that you thought never would be saved. They were maybe drug addicts, or maybe they were, given to alcoholism or given to pornography. We don't know. There's all kinds of sins and addictions. And you might say to yourself, well, that person will never get saved, but the power of the gospel can save them. Amen. I think Mike Patterson's a great example of that, right? He was a thief for many years, and he'll tell you he wasn't a good one because he got caught. Best thing that ever happened to him, he'll tell you that. Why? Because in Ohio State Penitentiary, he came face to face with the gospel truth that he was a sinner. And he told me that was offensive to him, but it was the truth. He was a thief. He was a liar. Praise God, he humbled himself and confessed it before God and got saved. So we're ashamed of the gospel because we don't really believe the complete power of the gospel. But there is no doubt that in a world that wants, I guess we call it self-gratification, instant gratification, that self-sacrifice, and that's part of the message of the gospel, it's a very tough sell, isn't it? In fact, people get caught up with that. I know I did. Well, if I become this Christian, then I got to give this up. I got to give that up. I got to go to church every week. I got to stop cursing. I got to stop lying. But I don't know if I want to give up all that stuff. How many of you went through that? You know, it's like I don't want to sacrifice all that. Give up my life. But Jesus said, you got to lose your life to get your life. Amen. And when you do, you don't miss it at all. I don't miss any of that stuff. Thought I would, but I could care less. Part of the problem today is that churches preach a watered-down gospel, one that compromises the truth, one that preaches easy believism. Why? Because we don't want to offend people. We don't want to tell them that being a Christian will cost you something. And so we have now easy believism. And we wonder why our churches aren't making a difference in the country that we live. Because they watered down the gospel. Just say this prayer, you'll be saved. No, the gospel's not like a rabbit's foot. There are some spiritual truths, we call the four spiritual laws, that must be appropriated for you to be saved. The first one is you got to repent. Do you know you're a sinner? You got to know that. And you got to acknowledge that before God. God, I am a sinner. Remember the story of the publican and the Sadducee? Sadducee is a religious man. The publican was a tax collector who was often guilty of extorting people. But he recognized he was a sinner and he went before the Lord and he humbled himself and he said, oh God, forgive me, a sinner. And the Sadducee standing there going, I'm not like him. Who do you think walked away saved? The person who repented. But we don't teach that today. Because why? It's offensive. It's offensive to get up into the pulpit and tell people you're a sinner. But it's the truth. The truth can be offensive. But it's important. It's the power of God. So when things get tough, many people today, they kind of bail out. Why? Because we're living in a society where everything is instant gratification. And there's no sacrifice. And we don't want to hear about sacrifice. We just want to hear that we're going to pray a prayer, we're going to be saved, and we go on. And there are many people who claim that they prayed the prayer to get saved, but there's no fruit in their life because I don't believe they're actually saved. Now, I know that's between them and God. But the Bible says there is righteous judgment, and we can judge by what? Their fruit. Because Jesus said so. You shall know them by their what? Fruit. A long-term commitment to our Lord Jesus involves self-denial. Take your Bible, go to Luke chapter 9. Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Luke 9:23, Jesus is speaking. Note what he says here. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself. We can't become Christians until we die to ourselves. And accept who Jesus really is. And so he says to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. People don't want to hear that. That's offensive. Oh, I don't want to do that. That's too hard. But Jesus said in verse 24, first, whosoever will save his life shall what? Lose it. But whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. The Christian life is not easy, but the true way to eternal joy is in Christ. Faith alone in Christ alone. So that leads me to the second point of the rest of this passage. First, don't be ashamed of the testimony of the Lord Jesus. That is the gospel. And then Paul goes, well, don't be ashamed of me. So how do we apply that? Note, as we go back to 2 Timothy and the second portion here of verse 8, be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of the Lord, nor of me, his what? Prisoner. Another aspect of serving with courage is not to be ashamed of other Christians. Now let's be honest today, because God knows anyway. Sometimes we're out with a Christian and we go to lunch and that Christian gets his meal and bows down to just quietly, not obnoxiously, give thanks. And you're like, what's going on here? You're ashamed. And that's just a simple example. Maybe you're with your peers and they're telling off-color jokes. And yet there's a brother who's a Christian or a sister. And they just quietly walk away. Sometimes we're tempted to be ashamed of a brother or sister in Christ who lives the Christian life. Sometimes that's why we don't associate with some Christians. Because we want to do our thing and we don't want to be with them because they make us feel uneasy. Well, praise God for the Christian who lives the Christian life. Amen. Maybe it has to do with their boldness in expressing their faith, and that makes you uneasy. Paul said to Timothy, don't be ashamed of me because I'm in prison. I'm in prison for doing what was right. How many Christians are in jail in our country for preaching the gospel? There's a pastor in Canada. We're praying that he won't go to jail because he kept his church open. He kept it safe, but he kept his church open during the COVID and they raided his church. And he may go to jail. We have to be honest and transparent before God, but maybe it's because we're ashamed of the gospel and they're not. And they exhibit boldness in expressing their faith. Or maybe it's someone that you know is a Christian and there's an unwillingness in their heart and their soul to compromise their convictions. And you don't want to be with them again. Well, we all went out and everybody got drunk and he got up and walked away. Well, I don't want to be with him again. Christians ought to love to be with other believers. We ought to love it because we know that we serve the Lord Jesus, and we're doing our best to follow. No, we're not perfect. Now, we may not agree with other methodology or convictions, but my God, we must cherish their commitment to the Lord and the fact that we are all part of the same family. Let's act like family. Again, we must not be ashamed of the gospel, and especially to those who preach it, and they be suffering consequences for it. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God. Yes, and sometimes when we do that which we are called to do by faith, it will cost us ridicule and affliction. Paul goes on to say to Timothy, don't be ashamed of me. I'm a prisoner of the Lord. But be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. Suffering and ridicule or persecution in any form is not something that we will endure by our own power. But we forget that. Go back to verse 7. But God has not given us a spirit of fear. Okay, we understand that. But do we implement the fact that when we are living the Christian life and when we are to stand and make a bold proclamation or a testimony, that He will give us the power? And I said this earlier, one of the reasons why we are ashamed is because we do not really truly believe in the power. God will give you the power if you're willing to take a stand. Suffering, ridicule, or persecution in any form is difficult, but God will give you sustaining grace. This kind of enduring power, listen, it's not available until you need it. Like people say that, I don't want to die. I'm afraid to die. Well, you know what? Stop worrying about when you're going to die, because when you're ready to die, God will give you the sustaining grace. Amen? He didn't promise you that now. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort. Do you believe that, or do you think that's just a myth? When we're suffering for the gospel, I promise you, we will receive supernatural grace. Do you know there are four kinds of grace? Saving grace. Okay? Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you repent and you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, that He died on the cross, was buried, rose again from the dead, thou shalt be saved. That's saving grace. And then there's sanctifying grace. We're all living through that. As we sit here hearing the preaching and the teaching of the Word of God, God is sanctifying us. He's helping us to overcome sinfulness in our life and bad habits. He's sanctifying us unto His work. That's a daily grace that God gives us. And then there's the sustaining grace. What I'm talking about right now. And the problem is that people don't understand the power of sustaining grace, and so they give in to a spirit of fear. Quickly, take your Bible, go to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And we're going to look at let's start with verse 8. For this thing, this is Paul talking, for this thing, this was his thorn in the flesh. I don't want to take the time to read all that. Most of you know that Paul talked about a thorn in his flesh. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, I mean three times, that it might depart from me. God didn't say, well, okay, Paul, I'll take it away from you. Watch what he said. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, that's sustaining grace. For my strength, that's the power of God. My power, my strength is made perfect in what? Weakness. Do you know when you humble yourself and recognize before God that you are weak and that you need Him, then you are strong. That's what he's saying. And Paul says he understood this, so most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities. Why? Why, Paul, would you do that? He tells us that the power of Christ may rest upon me. So stop fearing when you're called to be a witness. Stop fearing. He's not giving you a spirit of fear. Stop being ashamed, because He will give you the power. It is sustaining power. Because it is sustaining grace. I said there are four. And the last one is serving grace. gives us the grace to serve. Think of our missionaries. Think of pastors. Think of Sunday school teachers. It's not easy. But he gives us serving grace. I'll go back. We're going to finish this. You can say, well, you got a lot more to go. Not really, because the rest of the verses of this is really redundant. Let me explain to you what I mean. In verse 8, Paul said, okay, don't be ashamed of the testimony, that's the gospel, nor of me, his prisoner, or the afflictions, because we're all going to be partakers of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. And then he goes into what the testimony of the Lord really is. We all know that. Who has what? Saved us. Okay, he didn't just save us to sit the bench, as it were. We're saved to what? Serve. Amen? I know when I got selected as a young boy to be on the Cramer Hill Falcons, that was a baseball team, I thought, wow, they picked me. I'm the shortest guy around. They picked me to be on the team. And I didn't want to sit the bench. When they picked me, I wanted to play. Sad that Christians get saved. They're part of the family of God. And they don't mind sitting the bench. Paul said, you're saved to serve. So serve. Do you know that why most Christians never really experience the power of God in their lives is because they're never in the midst of circumstances where they need it. And that's because they're not serving. How can you experience the power of God if you're not serving God? He's not going to give you power when you don't need it. The message that Timothy is not ashamed of is the plan of salvation. That's God's plan. And the emphasis here in these next three verses is on grace. We already talked about it. God saved us, that saving grace. For by grace are you saved through faith. It's not of yourself, it's a gift of God, lest any man should boast. Amen? So that's what he's saying. This is the gospel. And he talks about it. But according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior. So before the world began, God had a plan to save a lost humanity. But Paul says to Timothy, it's already been manifest. God has sent his Son, Jesus, who has abolished death and he has brought life and immortality to light through the what? Gospel. So the next three verses is just an explanation of what we are to be proud of, not ashamed of. And that is the gospel. And Paul says in verse 11, after talking about the power of the gospel, he says, whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles. He's proud of it. I wonder if we are. Paul identifies himself saying, I've been sent as an apostle under authority of God to communicate the truth. That's his calling. That's his duty. And he's saying in verse 12, and for this reason is why I suffer, for the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed. And we all know how beautiful that verse ends. Amen? Many have memorized it. For I know whom I believe. Who do you believe? I believe in the mercy of God. I believe in the grace of God. I believe that God sent his only begotten Son to save us, and I'm not ashamed. For I know who I am believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Nevertheless, Paul said, I would remind you that at the time of this writing, he glorified the Father. Listen to me, okay? He glorified the Father in the gospel, knowing that in just a matter of days, he is waiting for the blade to ultimately sever his head. But he absolutely knows, absent from the body, what? Present with the Lord. You know, Brother Juan and I were talking this morning that we're both beginning to feel like, stop this earth and let me off. Right? I mean, we're both like anxiously waiting the rapture. Why? Because this this world is not my home. It's becoming more and more foreign to me. It ought to be that way to every Christian. The result of serving God with courage and not being ashamed is that the message of the gospel becomes effective. And God asks us to be effective ambassadors. Let's have every head bowed, every eye closed. If you are here this morning without Christ as Savior, there will come a day when time will be up. Did you make the choice to be saved? To acknowledge you are a sinner? It is good news that God loves you, that Christ died for you, and God has provided a place for you. So accept Him today if you never had. And if you're a Christian and you're ashamed of the gospel, I pray that you would just become more active and you'll see the power of God and you'll become emboldened once again as a Christian. Father, bless the message and now prepare our hearts for communion. May all of us be sincere in doing business before you. And if we have something against a brother or a sister, may we wait till we get that cleared up so that we don't take unworthily of the communion. Bless our time at this table in Jesus' name. Amen.